Hours. Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1279. Although I've received reports that I've fouled up the number of shows. It's March 20, 2024, 66 degrees on this day in 1938 and 9 below in 1965. Oh, come on.
Hail the Flashlight King!
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your Flashlight King, Fireworks Commissioner, and the Keeper of Common Sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
I have today's presidential candidate update.
Oh.
Biden has switched to some very unwieldy orthopedic shoes with the super extra rubber traction soles. So he doesn't go down, and he's wearing those
grippers.
And then he's got the good grippers going. And yesterday he was at a campaign event and just wandered off the stage to sit down and cozy up to a small child.
Start playing with her hair. Did
and
he
sniffing and
invade her privacy?
And mom was there. And then as far as Trump goes, the Daily Mirror is reporting that he's now dragging his right leg and gripping stair rails for all he's worth, trying to get up and down steps. And the mobility of his right leg is in question.
Did he perhaps have a procedure?
I have no idea. But
like maybe
my
on his foot?
But my update is that we have two of these characters who are rapidly falling apart.
Much like the country.
Much like the country.
The Trump thing, that sounds like a stroke.
Well, it's based on a video by Ron Filipkowski, who is a Trump critic and editor-in-chief of Medias Touch. Trump can be seen dancing on stage and moving his clenched fist back and forth while audience members cheer him on.
He doesn't dance.
But once the dance is over, Trump can be seen making his way off stage, gripping the handrail of the stairs as he walks down them, appearing to steady himself.
No.
I don't know. I think much is being made of that. But my point is, if you want to train the cameras on our presidential candidates, you're going to find them making a lot of old guy moves.
What about Bob Kennedy? How's he doing?
I haven't seen any footage of him demonstrating any physical incapacity, but Joe's got the big shoes going, and that could be helpful. And Trump will have to do something with that, dragging that right leg around. So that's. Do you have anything from the national scene on politics, Chris?
I do, Joe. Ohio had their primary yesterday.
All right.
The state of Ohio.
State of Ohio.
And a gentleman by the name of Ismael Muhammad won his race in Ohio's 3rd district last night, beating
Abdirazak
Dini.
A Somali community activist who had jumped out to a small lead over Muhammad.
Muhammad campaigned almost entirely in Somali.
In the Somali language. In Ohio.
Yep. Mm.
Okay.
His campaign pitch? To represent the interests of Somalia. We have a little video from their victory party last night.
This is Ismael Muhammad. He is a 31-year-old lawyer from Columbus, Ohio. There's too many lawyers. He's now celebrating with his victors. What?
Do this!
I don't understand the words.
Is that Somali music, I wonder?
I believe it is.
For all I know, those are the Beatles of Mogadishu that they're playing. Sure. I have no idea.
But he basically had the same campaign as Miss Omar did.
You know what that sounded like, Joe? That sounded like Somalian government music.
Yes.
Now, people are going
like
to say...
That's like Huey Lewis of Somalia.
Our critics are going to say, well, you people are being mean-spirited. Why shouldn't a Somali win a seat? Is that for a state seat? Yeah,
that's
a state
seat. I'll tell you why.
And it's all fine, except in this country, we used to have candidates who ran with the interests of the general population at heart.
Well, we now have
candidates who run for either the transgender interests at heart or the Somali interests at heart or the Eastern Pacific Rim interests at heart. And in the meantime, you know, Ohio, which was a an old steel making railroad blue collar
Allentown.
Allen, now that's Pennsylvania.
Oh,
Rook.
Sorry.
And the and the whole notion of Abe Lincoln setting down his axe and hobbling off to Washington is done. We don't. That's not the way we operate anymore.
Right.
The political arena has become, I'm very comfortable in saying, being taken over by what we used to call special interests, I suppose, were evil corporations. And now the special interests are various constituent groups. And there's a great example in Ohio of strictly a Somali celebration. It had nothing to do with anyone in Ohio who might not be Somali.
Did you say he won just the primary, right?
Right.
Not the...
He becomes now a candidate for the general election in November.
My guess, Kenny, is it's an area where when you get the Democratic nominee, you're almost a shoo-in. That's the way I read into the story anyway.
Somali Ali?
So like here, how everyone was fighting over who was going to get the Democratic nominee in Minneapolis. Remember all the brawls we had?
Yeah.
That's basically
awesome.
The same...
Well, and now we discovered, too, that there were three candidates running for this opportunity to be on the November ballot. No Republicans ran in this district. Mm-hmm. So you had Ismail Mohammed ran. He beat Abdirzak Dini. And there was a gal in there, Julie Trabold, 35, a nurse and political activist from the Columbus area. She got 12% of the vote. And I can only imagine what it means to have described her as a political activist, but she didn't fare well. Everything is upside down. We have where'd you give me that story? Did you give me that story, Chris?
Yeah, I did.
About the Chicago judge?
Yes, I handed it to you.
That's it right there.
Yeah,
here it is.
Here it is. We have a judge in the Chicago, Northern Illinois District Judge Sharon Coleman, an Obama appointee. Everything's upside down, Rook.
Upside down.
She has ruled that the Second Amendment covers the gun rights of illegal immigrants.
Hold on a second.
Wait a minute.
Suchi boy.
Hold up.
Judge Sharon Johnson Coleman ruled a federal ban on illegal immigrants owning firearms unconstitutional, specifically in the case of Heriberto Carbajal Flores, who had previously been caught with a weapon in Chicago. Johnson Coleman moved to dismiss the charges against Carbajal Flores in the case. Johnson wrote, there is no historical tradition of firearm regulation that precludes a non-citizen who has not been convicted of a violent crime from constitutional gun ownership. While finding the federal ban facially constitutional, I don't know what that means. So, in other words, if this Carbajal Flores had murdered somebody, she might have thought differently about it. Mm. But as long as he hasn't killed anybody yet, he's entitled to own a gun. It's constitutional to apply the Second Amendment to his gun-toting privileges. And this joins the many politicians who are campaigning and insisting that illegal immigrants should have voting rights. We'll take you right now to the state of Maryland, where everything is upside down. And you have a fellow there running for a Senate seat. He's the Democrat front runner in what could be one of the most unexpectedly tight Senate races this year. He's declaring his support for granting citizenship and voting rights to the millions of illegal immigrants residing in the U.S. Speaking at a candidate forum in Bladensburg, Maryland, Representative David Trone, who represents the state's 6th congressional district, argued that illegal immigrants should have the same rights under the Constitution as U.S. citizens. We need to welcome 12 million folks here now, folks, God, I hate when they use that word. Folks here that are DACA, TPS, and undocumented, make them citizens and move forward. They have the rights everybody should have, Trone said, referring to deferred action childhood arrivals who were brought to the U.S. as children by illegal immigrants, as well as migrants granted temporary protected status, TPS. And he goes on to say that he voted against, Trone voted against the bipartisan Laken-Riley Act, a bill that was named after a nursing student who was tragically murdered on the campus of the University of Georgia. Jose Antonio Ibarra, the illegal immigrant from Venezuela charged in the murder, was arrested in New York prior to the murder, but was not detained by officials. He was also cited in Georgia for misdemeanor shoplifting in October 2023. The bill that Trone voted against would have required U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement to arrest illegal immigrants who commit theft, burglary, larceny, or shoplifting offenses and mandate that those who commit such crimes are detained until they are removed from the U.S. so they cannot break the same law or commit further crimes. He voted against that.
Okay.
Everything's upside down.
What the hell?
Everything has flip-flopped. Now, in case you want to push back against Trone, Kelsey alerted me to this. He owns Total Wine. Along with his brother, they started the...
Oh, he does.
The Total Wine store.
The conglomerate known as Total Wine.
Robbing local liquor stores.
I don't buy wine. If I did, I would make sure I no longer bought it at Total Wine.
I would go to my local. I'd go to the Midway Liquor
Fine
Store.
Fine Ma Pa.
Right.
So that's a way to push back, as an example, against this fellow whose ideology is completely un-American, completely corrupted. If you shop at Total Wine, maybe you'd want to reconsider, or maybe you want to go there. I don't know anything about wine prices. Yes.
What kind of weight does he carry within their government? Does his opinion count or matter? I mean, is this just the notion of a hothead, or is this somebody that we really need to be concerned about? Because that's a pretty serious thing to say.
Well, he's the front runner in one of the tightest Senate races this year.
Well, there you go. So this is noteworthy, extremely so.
And he owns Total Wine. I looked that up.
Yeah.
Unless there's another David Trone, but I don't think there is. This is the David Trone I found, lived in Maryland, and talked about founding the company with his brother. And he's campaigning for the Senate to hang on to his seat.
You're right, Joe. Yeah. I just looked it up. You're right.
Last month, he signed a letter urging impeached Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to close immigrant detention centers. He doesn't want those open either. Just one day after a toddler was allegedly murdered by an illegal immigrant right outside his district, our immigration system is broken, he said. His way of fixing it would be to have none, apparently. Everything's upside down, people. Every bleeping thing
like
you
it.
Can think of, including,
I don't like it.
Including a judge appointed by Obama, who can find no reason constitutionally why a... now, they're going to, you know, like the Minnesota legislature would have me continue to jump through all the hoops they keep inventing for gun ownership.
Okay.
Because I'm responsible.
We've got laws already.
But
the
now,
responsible
but,
people are following the law.
But here comes a judge in Chicago who said, no, if you're illegal and you haven't even committed a violent act, you ought to be able to hang on. You ought to be able to have a gun. Yes, did you have something?
Well, I was just going to say, it in regards to all of the vast illegal immigration in this country, you know, we've asked, well, what does this represent? What is this all about? Why would they allow this to happen? Obviously, it's a big part of this is vote buying and things of that nature. But isn't there something much grander? I heard a theory floated that just in the state of California alone, they're just seeing a mass exodus of people. Well, those people need to be replaced, otherwise they're going to lose congressional seats. Does that make any sense?
Are you talking about the great replacement theory?
That's, I guess, what I'm trying to float out there, but I don't want to be the tinfoil hat guy, even though I guess on this show I kind of am.
Yes, you are.
But that makes a ton of sense, doesn't it?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Noted.
Dismissive. Yep.
Day and age, yeah.
I mean...
What were you going to say, Johnny?
The Ismail Muhammad story?
Yeah.
Did we know... maybe you mentioned this and I missed it. Did you know he's the incumbent already?
Oh, he is?
He was elected in 2022.
Oh, I did not know that.
So he's running for the same office.
Yeah, and he's hanging on to it.
That he now holds. Yeah. Well, he won the primary, yeah. So he'll probably win, obviously, the general.
He basically is the Ilhan Omar of Ohio.
Yeah, fair? he was elected easily in 2022 to that seat.
Remember, Ilhan said she wanted to use the power of the federal government to act on behalf of Somalia.
Right.
So
we got that going for us.
You know, you live in Wichita and you own a gas station. I don't think anybody's really looking out for you.
No.
You know. You're on your own.
You're done.
What were you going to say, Kenny?
The world is up. No, the world is not Norm MacDonald.
Kenny?
What does Norm MacDonald say in the joke?
I don't know. The world is not even. The earth is uneven.
Right, whatever it is.
This Illinois case, Chicago, this Flores was arrested in 2020. He violated this federal law that prohibits non-citizens from possessing guns. He also violated the state law where if you want a permit to carry, you need something outrageous like 60 hours, or was it 16 hours of training in order to carry in Illinois. But precedent was set. This judge and the guy's defense team must be remarkable because they brought up what happened in New York. This has already happened in New York. Mm-hmm. So this is not new.
I did not know that.
Yeah, neither did I, and I find that extra disturbing. And the character says he bought this because of the civil unrest at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened to be nabbed for something else, and he was carrying. So he broke two laws there.
Let's turn to the state of Texas on the same theme. I'm reading from a site called the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Since Biden took office, over 8.5 million immigrants have been encountered at the nation's borders, with an additional estimated 1.8 million gotaways evading the Customs and Border Protection. The Texas border comprises almost half of the entire U.S.-Mexico border, stretching 1,254 miles across four Mexican states. Millions of immigrants have entered the country through one of Texas's five border patrol sectors. As a result, the Lone Star State's diverse environment, divided into 10 ecoregions, has gradually transformed into a dumping ground for immigrants' waste. In 2021, the Bureau of Land Management released data estimating that each immigrant leaves behind 6 to 8 pounds of garbage at the southern border. It's kind of today's environmental statistic, isn't it? Mm-hmm. With illegal immigration on the rise, the levels of environmental degradation are expected to increase. Currently, millions of pounds of garbage litter, millions of pounds of garbage litter the southern border. Texas ranchers, law enforcement, and lawmakers are exasperated with the state of their border. Aerial drone footage vividly illustrates how uncontrolled illegal immigration can rapidly transform desert landscapes into wastelands strewn with feces, discarded clothing, food, chemicals, drug paraphernalia, and even abandoned vehicles. Currently, migrants breaching Texas razor wire have developed a habit of using clothing and trash to pad themselves against the barrier. Once through, they abandon their belongings. Some of those garbage heaps have grown so large that they have earned nicknames, such as the mattress, located just outside Brownsville. I can keep reading. The point I intend to make is, where's John Kerry? John Kerry is arguing that Russia should conduct a gentler war.
Is he maybe fighting for us somewhere in another country?
I don't know what he's doing now, but Kerry, who was the climate czar, which was absurd, has insisted, he said it more than once, that if Russia could conduct a more gentle war, there wouldn't be as much
outrage,
carbon emissions.
Yeah.
Well, where is Border and the rest of you hysterian freaks when it comes to the degradation and ruin of the Texas border area and the wildlife and the vegetation and what have you? Where are you? Everything's upside down. Nothing makes sense.
They would be there if there was a planned pipeline to go through. Yeah. Otherwise, they don't care about the earth, environment, trash like this. They also don't seem to care about waters and rivers and lakes. To me, it seems like they're mostly, their big concern is the environment, the air, the climate, the weather.
Here's just one story from Presnell Cage. Doesn't that sound like the name of a rancher? Presnell.
Yes.
He's a rancher from Brooks County, Texas. He's had to assign his cowboys to trash duty to address the hundreds of pounds of litter left by migrants. Additionally, Cage grapples with a drug trafficking problem on his ranch. He recounted a recent incident to The Guardian, stating, "A few months ago, while building a fence, we witnessed a group of individuals dropping 250 pounds of marijuana." Cattle rancher Louis Valderrama, based in Eagle Pass, Texas, has witnessed his cows succumb to illness after ingesting trash left by migrants. His ranch, situated along the Rio Grande, is strewn with debris, which he attributes to the Biden administration's catch-and-release policy. He said if immigrants knew that they wouldn't be released and would instead go to a detention camp waiting for a hearing, spending 6 months to you in a year in a camp, they would likely reconsider coming here. Everything's upside down, people. I don't know what's going on, but it's getting... And yet, you're not getting a sense of the upside-downness from conventional news gatherers. They still are reporting on puppies that learn new tricks,
I saw a news story today that Subway is changing from Coca-Cola to Pepsi.
And I saw a story last night. I saw a story last night for which I was given zero credit, absolutely no credit. An outfit in St. Cloud has created individual dwellings inside a larger building for the homeless to live. Hmm. That's what I wanted Walls to do with his fruit warehouse that he used our money to buy. I said, let's make dorm rooms in there. Well, that's what they're doing in St. Cloud. I received no credit.
None?
None.
Hmm. You would have probably numbered the...
I'm not done with the upside down. Get your garage door fixed while the world is still right side up. Use Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in Western Wisconsin. There's a couple of aspects about this outfit that make them stand out. One, they don't charge more for weekend visits. To me, that's crucial. Stung in the past. And they generally work very hard to make sure they have everything with them so you don't get that song and dance about, I got to run back to the shop. Right. They want to do it on their arrival. They want to complete it while they're there. They do the rollers, the springs, the openers, the apps, the lights, whatever problem you have, they take care of it. And they'll, including, of course, working with you on a design or a selection of a new garage door. It's a great outfit. I've got nothing but positive emails from the customers of Precision Garage Door. Find them at precisiondoormn.com. That's precisiondoormn.com. Or put this number in your contacts and call them because you'll need them sooner or later. Precision Door. 612-263-6985.
Boom. Hey there, GLers. Do what Reavers did a couple of years ago and make the switch to Hofferman Water. Well, first what I did was I called them up to get on the schedule for that free water analysis. And I'm telling you right now that this is the best time of the year to do that. They get a little bit busy in the spring and in the summer, so make sure that you're getting on that schedule right away. Give them a call, 612-895-2440. You can also visit their website, which is HoffermanWater.com. I had my new system installed years ago, and it's made an amazing difference in the quality of my water. Doesn't matter whether we're doing laundry, your showers, your drinking water, your cooking, your coffee, Everything is better with Hofferman and Kinetico. So if you're in the market, they do offer sales, service, and rental options. If you're in the market for rental for Kinetico water treatment systems, that includes water softeners, iron rust, and odor filtration systems, and of course, drinking water systems. I've been a proud customer. In fact, that's how this relationship started years ago, was I was a customer before they ever decided to advertise on Garage Logic, and it's been great. I'm so happy and have been very, very happy with my service with Hofferman and Kinetico, and I know that you will be too. So get on that schedule, have them come out for that free water analysis, and please make sure that you mention the Garage Logic podcast. Hofferman Water has been proudly serving the state of Minnesota for over 50 years.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Truth, justice, and the suzerain.
Even with the upcoming blizzard of the century, where we are predicted to have up to 10 to 15 feet of snow, landscape season still starting earlier than ever this year. That means for us, that means if you're considering a landscape or an outdoor living space project this summer, it's time right now to get a hold of Professional Turf. They are your best bet. ProTurf will work with you to design your project using digital photography and landscape imaging software, so you can actually see what your finished project will look like in color before even one shovel hits the ground. You can upgrade that outdoor living space with anything you need. ProTurf does it all. Pavers, stone patios, fire pits, walkways, driveways, walls, mulch. I think I've done all of the above at my place in Minneapolis. The only thing I didn't do that they do, water features like ponds, streams, fountains. They do it all. They've been at it since, 1982? Yeah, so go ahead and just let the pros at ProTurf design and help you install landscape projects this summer. You're going to love it. Your neighbors will love it, and it'll force the value of your home up. You can schedule that free ProTurf estimate and appointment today at professionalturf.com.
Perhaps not to prove that things are upside down, but perhaps to corroborate my insistence that the climate change movement brought to you by the left has nothing to do with the climate.
Okay.
We have a United Nations Youth Climate Advisor. She's a 24-year-old Pakistani woman.
A youth climate. So to forget climate, it just, now we've got to go to the youth now.
Well, and she's been personally selected by the attorney, the Secretary General of the UN, Antonio Guterres, personally selected Pakistani-American Aisha Siddiqui as one of his advisors to help accelerate the implementation of his climate action agenda, which means the takeover of Western civilization.
So you take a nobody that's known nowhere, and they're going to help them expand the agenda.
Siddiqui was a Time Woman of the Year in 2023, who has co-founded two youth climate activist organizations. But she said the problem with the climate is white people. And if we could get rid of white people,
and all their hot air,
there'd be no climate. See, this has nothing to do, folks, with how green your grass is. Here's one of her posts on social media. When I say man-made, I don't mean individuals. I mean white supremacy with the aid of corporations is causing the climate crisis. There is no climate crisis. And core are not amorphous groups outside of responsibility. White people are the presidents and CEOs of these fossil fuel companies and benefit from them. And she is, her name is, as I said,
Aisha
Siddiqui. And she's handpicked by the head of the UN, an outfit I do not want in this country, but yeah. I have no power to remove them. But she would factor into her beliefs of her contrived hysteria that white people are to blame for climate change.
I would agree with that. I think white people are just careless with the climate, and that's the reason that we have a rising temperature.
And she wants white people to be stripped of power, and that this will require revolutionary fights. She says racial harmony is a fallacy. And that if we only could get rid of the white people, we wouldn't have any temperature swings or storms or anything, I guess.
I think Tyrone Greene said it best on Saturday Night Live. kill all the white people.
Well, that's what she's... Yeah. Well, she's not saying that word, but...
Get rid of them.
How else are you... What are we supposed to do?
Okay. Get rid of them.
Where should I go?
If we do get rid of the white people, will the climate still rise?
The climate doesn't rise. You mean the temperature?
The temperature. Whatever the hell it is. I don't know.
I'm not seeing what they're seeing for a future. I'm seeing Haiti being run by gangs or Cuba or North Korea. What are they seeing that's so much more attractive than the democracy that we have now?
They'll have nothing to rule. There'll be no funds to carry out their mystery. There'll be nothing left.
Are we just going to be peasants?
Yes.
The lot of us?
Yes.
The entire country?
Yes.
The middle of flyover, middle America? We're just working for them?
But
for our own survival?
For years, it should have been terribly obvious to people that this movement has nothing to do with the climate. Nothing. It is a form of... behavior modification. It's a form of, and you know what it did? It made great leaps forward during COVID.
Everything evil did.
When the third rail realized how easy it was to control people.
Weird.
Many of whom still wear masks.
There's an account that is reposting, because it's around that time, 4 years ago when a lot of this stuff surfaced, about all the weird things that we just followed along with back then.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, one of them was there was a park in, I believe, San Diego where they dumped sand all over it so that kids couldn't skateboard. And,
yes.
And they put police tape around all the playground equipment because they didn't want kids being around each other. I'm thinking, how idiotic was that decision?
You know, I let a lot of that slip through my mind, and I discounted a lot of that as having any lasting meaning or effect. And I am totally wrong. That had great meaning and great effect on the psyche of people. Mm. And it's been getting steadily... Our rush to become Haiti has become steadily worse in the last 4 years. Steadily worse. Now, here's a notion, a little something. The world's upside down.
Let's go.
All but one of the 100 cities with the world's worst air pollution, all but one.
All of them except this one.
We're in Asia, according to a new report, with the climate crisis playing a pivotal role in bad air quality. The vast majority of these cities were in India. 83.
Is that a big surprise?
And all were exceeding the World Health Organization's air quality guidelines by more than 10 times, according to a report by IQ Air, which tracks air quality worldwide. The study looks specifically at fine particulate matter, or PM 2.5, which is the tiniest pollutants but also the most dangerous. Only 9% of more than 7,800 cities analyzed globally recorded air quality that met the World Health Standard, which says average levels of particulate matter should not exceed 5 micrograms. Okay, then why is it our fault if virtually every city in the world that is the worst polluted is not in the United States? Where private concerns have been ahead of the curve in terms of cleaning up smokestack pollution and what have you, why are we singled out? If the goal is not to end America, then why is America being singled out for pollution when America is clean compared to the rest of the world? Yes, you in the back.
The problem I see there is why... How come nobody in charge, like the president or whoever, isn't being asked those difficult questions? Nobody's asking those obvious but difficult questions to the people who are shoving this crap down our throat. Why doesn't somebody ask John Kerry that, or the president, or any of these other knuckled meatheads that are shoving this down our throat, Joe? Nobody's asking.
I wish I could answer that. Are they just playing along?
We had eight storms last year, which cost America well more than $1 billion per store.
Oh boy.
It's far cheaper to recognize what's coming and cure the problem ahead of time.
Hey, Lurch, why don't you go down to the Texas border? And why aren't you saying to the president, let's lay off our own people. For God's sakes, we're doing the Lord's work in this country compared to the rest of the world. What does the rest of the world want from us to mitigate this?
Mention India. Mention coal plants in China. More coming online every day. How come nobody's bringing that up? Why are we bearing the brunt of the load?
29 of the 30 most polluted cities in India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. There should be no question whatsoever that the U.S. is way ahead of the world in acknowledging, and it was started by Richard Nixon, for God's sakes. The EPA was started by Richard Nixon. There should be no controversy whatsoever in the world that America should not be the one under attack. But because this has nothing to do with the climate.
Nothing.
This has nothing to do with pollution. This has nothing to do with air quality. It's the U.S. that's at fault, and the only way the U.S. can get off the hook is if you keep sending us more money.
Right.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Follow the money.
It's just bleeping upside down.
Everything.
We don't have a president that sticks up for us. There's one in the wings, but he's dragging that right leg.
Well, but as long as you want to go down that road, I'm going to repeat what I said to you before the show. That's why he's so appealing to so many people, because he's about the only thing in some people's mind that stands in the way. Throughout all of his faults, I get it, but I'm just that's why, because you had asked that question a while ago, is why is he so popular?
But here's CNN.
Yes, sir.
And this is a CNN story. The world's 100 worst polluted cities are in Asia, and 83 of them are in just one country. That's India. But it's CNN who would also lead the way in accusing the U.S. of being a carbon emitter.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
They don't even understand their own ironies. The hypocrisy is out of control. The liberal judges appointed by Obama, the hypocrisy is out of control. You're an illegal, you haven't committed a violent act yet, you can have a gun. The hypocrisies are out of control.
But I think before you go buy that gun as an illegal, you have to cast your absentee ballot first. Yeah. I think that's part of the deal.
Texas is environmentally degraded because of illegal immigration, but not a word from the Sierra Club.
Yeah.
Not a word from Kerry. Not a word from anybody.
Right.
I don't think they dare.
The hypocrisies are out of control.
They don't dare.
Well.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Maybe Sioux Falls is a respite.
Could be.
You know, you're thinking about moving the business this year. Have you thought about Sioux Falls? It's right down there.
Yeah,
right down in the corner.
How far
there.
Is it from so here?
You go down to 35 to 90. You take a right.
I think it's about 3.5 hours.
Well, that's nothing. That's a one day. That's a half a day. Nothing. That's you come up here to go to the Wild game. That's nothing. Plus, what you're gaining, the second best tax climate in the country, and you're leaving. If you're leaving Minnesota, the 45th worst tax climate in the country. You can increase your profits in Sioux Falls. I'll miss you, but I couldn't blame you. The people who have taken advantage of Sioux Falls have started with this, SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. And what are they finding when they get there? Safer streets, award-winning schools, shorter commutes, vibrant, growing downtown, pro-business attitudes. These are pretty attractive reasons compared to what we're experiencing here. They've got a motivated workforce ready to help your business grow. So you can escape the high taxes of Minnesota by planning your expansion or relocation to Sioux Falls. Maybe you're going to add on a new business or something. Maybe you want to try it in Sioux Falls. Maybe 2024 is the time to make your move to Sioux Falls. Find out everything you need to know at, and this is all one word, SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
Not a garage. Watch Logic town council member. Here's what you're missing.
You guys want a review of Williams Band concert? Oh, it's even better than that. They played the Celine Dion song.
Oh my God. Bang my head.
What?
I see you.
Oh my God. What does he play? The triangle? Does he play the triangle?
Trumpet. Oh. Look at him right there.
Fetch Mo. That's Chuck Mangione.
That's why band teachers are insane.
Kenny, it's funny you say that. I played golf with a guy, and he was a band teacher, and he was nuts.
Yeah.
And every band teacher I've ever met is crazy. They've been driven crazy.
Because they've been having to listen
they've been
to
hearing
that.
This
5 years. Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Suchere.
You got a line, and I got a hook.
Jeffrey.
You and me, baby, let's take a stroll. Wander on down to the water side. Cut a little bait and see what bites. Cause I love fishing with you, baby. I love your little catch me look.
I can't jump in on Jeff Dayton for crying out loud. If Jeff was here, I'd tell him Minnesota has 120 Masonic lodges throughout the state. Did you know that, Jeff?
I did not know that.
Oh, are you playing Jeff today?
120?
Yeah. Most people look at those old buildings as the place people go once in a while for a good pancake breakfast or where their grandpa went to hang out with friends and learn the secret handshake. They'd be right. What people may not know is that Masonic Lodges is where thousands of men make a commitment to develop their personal potential and work on becoming the best possible versions of themselves, just like Jeff Dayton. Courteous, honorable, kind, humble, charitable, in a word, civil. In a world dominated by the decline of ethical and moral integrity, which we talk about here on Garage Logic all the time, the Masons have embarked on a new program, Civility School.
I think that'd be cool.
Yes,
it is. Are we literally, I'm going to use the word literally, learn to sit at a dinner table, for example, and use the right utensils.
Yes,
the whole deal. Start at the bottom.
And if you disagree with someone, you can disagree.
Right.
Be civil.
Right.
This is the test run of this program is going to be held on March 30th from 10 to noon at the Masonic Heritage Center in South Bloomington.
I think Reber should attend.
Yeah, I know you start with the fork on the outside and you work your way towards the plate.
Right. You work your way in, exactly. If you'd like to attend and lend your garage logician's eye to the program, I know so many GLers that email us daily that could do this.
You mean GLers can witness this?
Yeah, they can be part of the Civility School.
That would be very cool.
That's what they want at the Masonic. So here's the deal. You can sign up by going to garagelogic.com/Masonic or go to garagelogic.com and enter the keyword Masonic. Let's get a bunch of GLers there. There's lunch that follows. It's the 30th of March, the Saturday before Easter. It's going to be from 10 to noon. But you know what? You can go help these guys out.
What a great 2 hours of public service.
It is, and it's a freebie.
Yeah.
So go to garagelogic.com, enter keyword Masonic, and we'll see you there on the 30th.
John, before you begin, our friend Steve Conrad has emailed us. This year was the earliest spring equinox since 1896.
Wow.
Really? Did you know that? Yeah. Huh. And Steve was wondering if 1896-97 was the year without winter. No, that was 1877-78, thus that March 11th Minnetonka ice out
sure.
in 1878.
Steve Conrad, formerly on KDWB, as Wally Pike.
I didn't know that.
535-1549. That was his phone number.
Here's John Haidt.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. This news is brought to you by North American Banking Company. Story we've been following for a long time. Some new stuff on it now. 11 months after Governor Walz handed prosecution of the Zariah McKeever case to the Minnesota Attorney General's office, one of the teen suspects has now been certified as an adult to face a murder charge. You might remember the 23-year-old McKeever was killed at an apartment in the 6300 block of Zane Avenue North in Brooklyn Park, November 8, 2022. 17-year-old Fode Kevin Kamara has been certified as an adult. He faces two counts of second-degree murder in connection with their death. McKeever's sister, telling our friends at 5 Eyewitness News, we're happy for the certification. We've been waiting and wanting this for over a year now. Court documents allege that McKeever was in the apartment with their new boyfriend when two teens kicked in the door. One of the teens fired multiple shots, killing McKeever. Those teens told police, according to the criminal complaint, that Eric Dewan Haynes had given them the gun, told them to shoot McKeever's new boyfriend. Ooh. Haynes was charged in July of 2023 after a grand jury returned an indictment. His trial is scheduled to start April 1st. Kamara, who was 15 at the time McKeever was killed, told police that he and the other teen tried to get by McKeever to get to the boyfriend, but she approached them with a knife, so Kamara fired 9 times. Jesus. McKeever fell to the ground, according to the charging documents. One of the shots also hit the other teen in the leg, required him to be dropped off at a hospital for treatment. Now certified as an adult, Kamara faces up to 40 years in prison. When the Hennepin County Attorney's Office was handling the case, the two teens had been offered plea deals that would have given them an expected sentence of around 2 years at a juvenile correctional facility. That led to public outrage, both from the law enforcement organizations in the state and McKeever's family. They called on the governor to give the case to the attorney general's office. A day after McKeever's father expressed dismay with the plea deal, Walls announced he was taking the rare step to intervene, saying Attorney General Keith Ellison requested the case. Mary Moriarty, the Hennepin County attorney, blasted Walls and Ellison for the move, calling it unprecedented and deeply troubling. A total of 5 people charged in connection to McKeever's death. Now, after all of this yesterday, the Hennepin County Attorney's Office issued a statement that basically said the outcome would have been better had the Kamara case been handled as a juvenile case.
Well, Mary, the kid shot him, her 59 times, and Mary wanted him to sit on her lap, and she would have read him a golden book about farm life.
Sure. The difficulty law enforcement agencies have recruiting and retaining state troopers, police officers, and sheriff's deputies is well documented, and now there's a bill at the Minnesota State Capitol aimed at helping solve part of that problem by focusing on the retention of Minnesota State Troopers. Mike Ledoux is president of the Minnesota State Troopers Association. He says this new bill would enable state law enforcement officers to continue their service without facing financial penalties when they reach retirement age. Under current law, if you're a state trooper, the retirement age is 60, but most troopers retire at age 55 because that's when they max out the amount of retirement benefits they'll earn. Well, in this new bill, you could retire for one day at age 55 and then go back to work as a state trooper. So you could get your retirement benefits and earn money still working the job.
So you start over?
The bill has bipartisan support, has passed the House State and Local Government Committee, was sent to the House Ways and Means Committee.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It's not the retention that's the issue, is it? I thought it was we're just not getting any applicants.
You'd still have a higher number of officers because now they're just all,
they
leave at 55, whereas they could continue to work after 55 then.
Got it.
Well, how old are they?
55 is when they're, no. Thanks, you got me.
Yep, gotcha.
Yeah, I did the Joe bit there for some reason.
You marked that down as one for John, thank you.
One for John. St. Paul Police hosted a community meeting last night to address the city's copper wire theft crisis. City leaders, including Public Works Director Sean Kershaw, some city council members, and Ramsey County Attorney John Choi made an appearance and provided updates on efforts to slow the rampant stealing of wire from light poles that for months has continued to keep large portions of St. Paul black at night. As St. Paul officers' staffing situation has improved, they've been able to focus more manpower on the issue, according to St. Paul Police Deputy Chief of Ops Kurt Hellstrom. He said officers have made nearly 30 arrests related to copper wire theft in the past 3 to 6 months, saying that charges were filed in almost all of those cases. However, Hallstrom says it's too soon to tell if those couple dozen arrests will make a real dent in the rampant copper wire theft. The Public Works Director, Kershaw, said his department spent more than $1.1 million on wire replacement in 2023, adding that's 4 times the cost of the department from back in 2019.
I still don't get what that amount of wire could be worth.
It's not much. Mike was telling me a story yesterday about a friend of his was renting his house out, an Airbnb situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that rented it about a year or so ago ripped every piece of wiring out of the house in less than a week.
Really?
Oh, geez. Seriously?
Yep.
Just to get the copper?
Yep.
How much would that be?
That's what I don't know.
It's the effort is not.
It's so little, Joe,
reward.
That I give away all of my steel and metal, all of my scrap iron. I give it away.
Yep.
Because it's not worth driving it the 35-minute drive sure. down to the recycling center.
Right.
I hauled a car down there a year or so ago. I think I got $200 for the car. Barely worth it.
Really?
Yeah.
The question I have from that story, the officer said they've made 30 arrests, but they probably don't get charged with anything real drastic, do they?
I doubt it.
So it's probably not a...
And I have another question. Is this why we're leaving streetlights on in St. Paul during the day? They're just on 24
hours?
They're
on River Road. They're really? On all the
they're
time.
They're on all the time.
We're not leave here.
Well, that's... I wonder what your electricity bill is.
Oh, it's substantial.
You think that it would be cheaper to make these boxes at the base of these poles more difficult to break into?
Weld them shut.
Well, you don't even have to go that far. I mean, there's a way. I don't understand why they don't take that approach.
A mystery in Richfield. They're hearing noises around the city, especially late at night. Even a Facebook page created to track the location and times of the booms. In a statement on the loud noise, the city said earlier this month, the Richfield Police Department followed up on a report of someone lighting off mortars from their vehicle. The police addressed that situation with the individual involved, and they say they're confident that it's not an ongoing source of the reported booms that are continuing. Loud noises are common in the community, according to the police, whether from highway construction, the airport, or other regional activity. And the police merely said they will continue to monitor the situation and respond as needed. Why don't we take a short break here and hear from Mr. Reavers?
We will, Johnny. And as always, your news is brought to us by my bank, North American Banking Company. If you're interested in making the switch, maybe it's a family-related, person-related, or if you have a business, then check them out, nabankco.com. That's the website. In fact, I was just in there yesterday afternoon to handle some matters. But they are great. And you know what? I got tired of being just a number to my big national bank, so I made the switch. And they first opened back in 1998, and they made a promise to deliver a better banking experience for their customers, where you know your banker and they know you. And while a lot has changed since then, this commitment to being a true community bank in the Twin Cities, that has not. And they get it. They understand that there's no shortage of banking options in the Twin Cities. So if you're tired of just being a number, then check them out. NABankCo.com. They have 6 locations to serve you. Mine's in Roseville, but you can also see them at 50th and France, Hastings, Woodbury, Shoreview, and their new location in Maple Grove. They offer the same online and mobile banking options as the other banks, but you're going to get the unparalleled service of a community bank. And they are also locally owned and operated. And this is why that's a big deal. That means loan decisions are made right here in the Twin Cities. They do not send these out of state. So this helps business owners solve problems quickly and expand their business with confidence. NABankCo.com. Once again, it's banking done differently. North American Banking Company member FDIC is an equal housing lender.
We haven't had many roofers join us on Garage Logic, but Pete is with us from Hire a Pro, and he wants to explain to you how they do what they do.
Joe, all a roofing company is an LLC acting as a GC that hires subs and gets their materials from a supply house. When Hire a Pro helps you on your storm damage claim, you get our discounts for materials, and the labor is provided by a licensed and insured crew that doesn't skip on the warranty. This lets you act as your own GC so you can keep what a roofing company would take in profits. So tell me, if the options were us or someone with no transparency who takes all the money, would you go anywhere else?
Probably not.
Last year, our homeowners, other GLers like you listening today, kept an average of $5,600 all for acting as their own GC. They trusted Hire a Pro because we don't door knock, we don't solicit, and we don't push contracts. You tell us when you're ready to go, and we've got your back.
So if insurance has approved your roof replacement, give these guys a call at 651-402-3400 or visit them online at hire.pro. That's hire, and then put the dot there, pro.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
And he feels fine. Joe Suchere.
Boy, rarely can one singular product make such a vital difference in so many different kinds of engines. Of course, I'm talking fossil fuel engines and seafoam motor treatment, from tiny little two-stroke string trimmers all the way up to these big honking quad track diesel tractors. Seafoam motor treatment, it cleans and lubricates critical engine parts. That means your engine runs better, lasts longer. That's what we need out of life. That's what we need out of our engines. It stabilizes fuel. And one thing we don't think about a lot, but I really love, it preserves ignition vapors. That means your engine starts easier the next time you fire it up. We're talking anything, car, dump truck, tractor, just dump in a gulp on the regular or dump in a whole can every once in a while. It does the same thing. It's great preventive maintenance. It makes a vital difference in the performance of our cylinders. And best of all, it's available everywhere. A wonderful product in a world of bad gas. Our good friend, Seafoam.
Thanks, Kenny. In other news, a couple more Minnesota stories. Nearly three dozen groups in Minnesota have been gifted money from Mackenzie Scott, the billionaire philanthropist and author, in her latest round of donations. Originally, you might remember she said she'd give $1 million to 250 organizations. She's expanded that quite a bit. Now says she'll give $640 million to 361 organizations. Among those getting funds here, Twin Cities Rise and Outfront Minnesota. Those two organizations get a combined total of $5 million. Other Minnesota groups who received donations included the City of Lakes Community Land Trust, Hmong American Partnership, Twin Cities Habitat for Humanity, Boys and Girls Club of the Twin Cities, YWCA St. Paul, Dakota Medical Foundation, and Boys and Girls Club of White Earth Red Lake Nation Boys and Girls Club. Scott, who is the ex-wife of Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, has given away $16.5 billion from that fortune. In December 2022, she launched a database of her giving under the name Yield Giving.
Is there a new Mr. Scott?
Whatever. I don't think so.
Oh.
From the start,
if there was, he'd be screaming at her, save a little of it.
Right, don't give it all
save
away.
A little.
Yeah.
From the Star Tribune, the armed robbers who hit a Hopkins grocery store last month and fled with tens of thousands of dollars from the safe had help from an employee who was working at the time, according to police.
An inside job. Uh-huh.
Inside job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This
probably
was not known
in produce.
This was known at the time. The revelations of a suspected inside job came in a search warrant affidavit filed this week in Hennepin County District Court and confirmed by Police Chief Brent Johnson. So far, the suspected robbers, Darius Elam and Ryan Elam of Brooklyn Center, have been arrested and charged with holding up the U.S. grocery and tobacco in the 500 block of North Blake Road. At the time of the charge being filed, Johnson said that what the store employees endured at the hands of Elam's was horrific and deeply affected them. What happened was two employees were bound and blindfolded with duct tape. The manager, threatened with her life and pistol whipped in the head, gave the robbers access to the safe, which was left $45,000 lighter.
Wow.
Is that a normal amount of money to have in a grocery store?
Seems like a lot of money.
Yeah.
Really does.
What is the definition of grocery store here? You said the name is U.S. Grocery and Tobacco?
Yep, they got it all covered, don't they?
U.S. Grocery and Tobacco, yeah.
I don't know about you fellas, but I can smell that place from here.
Me too. Wow. Yeah.
The second you walk in, it's got that low-income smell to
Joe,
it.
Joe, why don't you go pick up some dinner tonight?
Do you want a gross fact?
Please.
Probably not.
Who doesn't?
Told to me by someone in the medical industry. Mm. That when bones are ground up for purposes of providing them for dentistry and whatever, the old cadaver bones,
yeah.
If the person was a smoker, the smoke fills the room where they're grinding up the,
cool.
the bones.
Oh, that, I don't doubt that for a minute.
Isn't that something?
That is pretty.
Why is that cool?
How do you know this?
I was told by a medical professional.
Okay. Cool.
I don't know. It's cool. That's pretty neat.
Isn't that something? That really shows you how powerful that stuff is.
It shows you the conversation, the casual conversation.
Yeah.
You know, when you're grinding up bones and your teeth and you got the smoker, it's
I don't know what made me think of that.
That's why 11 months later.
The tobacco smoke made me think of that.
Sure. 11 months later, I still need one. Yeah, I absolutely need one
You'll
right
need
now.
One 11 years from now.
Rookie raises a really interesting point.
Yeah.
What led the conversation to morph into that? Meaning, what was the subject matter between the two of you ahead of that conversation?
The floodgates. What opened the floodgates?
You know, Joe.
Well, I apparently...
You know, I tell you what, pal.
Apparently, to fix this tooth, they have to put a little cadaver bone up there to drill into.
Okay.
And he said, do you know that when they ran that bomb...
Wait a minute. So...
Is it a male or female
You'll
tooth?
Be carrying around some dead gal's bone
well,
in your mouth?
Well, it could be a guy. I hope it wasn't a smoker. I don't want to smell that all the time.
Right.
How do you get it to match? I mean, it's not like you're painting.
No, you don't see it. It goes up in there.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, when they do heart transplants, sometimes the new owner of the heart takes on some of the attributes of the old owner of the heart.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
I'm wondering.
Better math skills or something.
Maybe I'll become a liberal.
No, but maybe your taste buds will change. Maybe you'll crave different foods.
Maybe that could be.
He'll love gravy.
Yeah. Suddenly I'll like to have butter.
And popcorn.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Hot roast. No butter.
No butter.
Mutton, however.
Yeah. Can you eat mutton with the new set of choppers?
Love a good mutton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Smoke is, when I was playing in bars, guitar, my favorite thing was when the smoking ban was instated, not because of my lungs, but because the guitar case, when you put your guitar in, the next day, it would smell.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So
bad.
Absolutely. It was horrendous.
And I'm thinking,
sour and ugh.
Boy, your tooth has the smoke of a distant fire.
Right. Good. John, continue, please,
it's
quickly.
In that story, the whole thing that happened was one of those two people working, not the one that was beaten.
This is the grocery store robbery.
Oh, yes, the other gal was in on the thing.
Right.
That's how it started. And that would be the Sanford Townsend band, Smoke from a Distant Fire.
That's
in national and national and international headlines, the presidential election, according to a new Florida Atlantic University poll, is a dead heat between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. It finds them both tied at 44%. When the responses were narrowed to likely voters, Biden fared just a bit better, but it's still sort of a dead heat. He had 47%. Trump had 45%, and the margin of error is 3%. That generally is in line with most of the national polls that have come out recently, which have one or the other candidate slightly ahead and within the margin of error. And it's somewhat given, according to Kelvin Wagner, a Florida Atlantic University political scientist who helps with this poll. He said, given how highly partisan this race is and how fairly evenly divided the country is, we can expect this up to election time unless something happens.
Well, Trump's wearing the gripper shoes, or Biden's wearing the gripper shoes, and Trump's dragging his leg. I think something could happen.
Well, I don't know what you guys are concerned about. We already know how corrupt the voting procedure is here in this country. We know who's going to win again. It's no mystery.
Oh, God, let's not
do
that.
It'll be twice as many votes, I think, Kenny, this time as it was in 2020, right?
That's right.
Nope, Kenny, not gonna do it. Not gonna do it, Kenny.
You're no fun, John.
I will say this, though. I'm gonna say this right now.
All right.
If my grandmother votes for Biden again, I'm never going to her gravesite.
All right.
Come on, John. That's a good one.
She voted for him in 2020, even though she died in 2018.
I'm
never going to forgive her.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
One All more.
Right. Come on,
one
John.
More.
You're no
I got fun. One more, John. Come on, one more. Give us a good
I
one,
got
too.
A really serious sure. one there, so I'm going to skip the serious one,
skip
Cam.
It. Skip that
See
one.
See what we got at the end of the old... that's another serious
the old
one.
News
Here
cast.
We go. Here we go. We talked about this off air yesterday. A $1 million Powerball ticket sold in Zumbro Falls, Minnesota this week. The lottery says a ticket bought at the Falls Standard Inc. gas station at 225 Highway 63 matched the first five winning numbers.
BFD.
I hate $500,000.
Really? $1 million Powerball
I'd
ticket.
I'd hate that. Yeah, I'd hate that.
That'd take care of me.
You know what? If you do win that, the staff will take that off your hands then.
Yeah, don't worry.
We'll, no, we'll I mean really in the sense that it's not really much of a story.
Oh.
Well, really? It is. It's not.
You, do you want me to go to one of the serious ones? God, then?
You are so embedded in the area with the tall buildings, America, that part over there. Yeah, that's where you are.
Tonight's Powerball right is what, 160 million? And
big effing deal. Deal.
230 yeah, for Mega Millions after taxes.
That's nothing.
I'll listen to you guys every day. About?
John, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right,
I'm sorry. You're welcome.
You sound like Truman Capote.
What are we doing here?
I'm waiting for Matthew to
gonna
tell us about
zero res, and as Truman Capote would say, you can get a good deal right now you go
it's been
with
dead
zero
for what,
if I owned zero res, I would call up the sales department and have you fired.
No, absolutely not, because zero res is exactly who you need to call and talk to, because they do a great job. Zero Res has got a wonderful, wonderful deal, and it's spring cleaning time. Now is the time to get everything taken care of, and Zero Res can do that for you. 952-ZEROREZ, that's Zero Res. They have the Gotta Love It guarantee. Zero Res has a whole bunch of fantastic reviews on their Google website. They have 17,000 great reviews, a 4.9 rating, and the Zero Res Gotta Love It guarantee makes sure that you are going to be satisfied. So it's spring cleaning. Get everything done right now with Zero Res. 952-ZEROREZ, and you have to tell them the Rook sent you. You can save big in March when you beat the spring cleaning rush. So get on their appointment calendar right now. Zero Res, 3 rooms, Zero Resified from Minnesota's number one carpet cleaner, starting at just $129. Take $75 off your air duct cleaning and 20% off all upholstery. All of the upholstery. 952-ZEROREZ, or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com and tell them you want the Suchi, put your fingers on the desk special because you think the spot's going too long special. You have to say it exactly like that. No, actually, if you're going to get your carpet clean, ask for
the second verse.
Actually, if you're going to get your carpet cleaning, ask for the "We just found a tooth" special. And make sure it matches up with anybody that's lost a tooth. All right. 952-ZEROREZ.
We got a lot of teeth laying around here. One of them might not have been mine.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want you to think about anything
else.
What's
coming up on the ride?
Going home and getting out of here.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores.
Stay focused.
Sifting through the nuts and bolts of life.
Get this over with.
Joe Sugere.
Pretty good in unison.
Please don't
you. What were you saying?
Please don't use my name, and I won't, but I do know that the emailer has been a frequent emailer. I'm a state employee and supervise a crew of about 20. As you're probably aware, the state has procedures for giving hiring preferences to people of color and women for certain positions that don't have a high enough percentage of diverse workers, per the state's reckoning. The state has further procedures where a hiring supervisor can make an appeal to human resources to hire a more qualified candidate over a person who checks the box. But the process is long and arduous, enough so that a supervisor has to strongly weigh the pros and cons of having a more qualified candidate over the cons of the high levels of nonsense paperwork and likely weeks-long delay in the hiring process. Mm. So if I can interpret that, you can campaign for a qualified candidate, but it would take you a bit of work. Okay. At a recent human resources training on these processes, a prematurely gray-haired supervisor asked if transgender employees were going to rise to a protected class for hiring purposes. I was glad to hear that it is not being considered at this time, but it got my wheels spinning. If that ever became a thing, what would stop anyone from stating they were trans to get a leg up in the hiring process? Moreover, why wouldn't you state it? It's unprovable. That's been stewing in the back of my mind for a month or so, but on yesterday's show you discussed the transgender power lifter who's suing an organization for denying she, him the right to compete. Then you mentioned the girls' basketball team out east, who had female players injured by a bearded brute of a self-proclaimed girl on the opposing team. As I understand it, other teams were forfeiting to that team to avoid playing. What they ought to do is join them. If you know your girls' team has to go up against a transgender player on the opposing team, a crafty coach could quietly enlist the boys' basketball team to come on out for at least one night and take it to the bully. Who could argue with five boys who decided they felt differently for a night? A coach with any morals at all would not mess with this, I'm sure, but wouldn't it be fun to see it happen once? Ironically, my daughter ran her first season of D3 cross country last year, and a trans kid was running with the girls in a few meets. I was angry when I saw him competing the first time, but my daughter and about 80 other girl runners would have had to look over their shoulder to see him at all. So no harm, no foul, I guess. Mm-hmm. And this email from, do I get to use this name? He has written frequently, too. And sports betting, he believes, will become nearly a complete monopoly belonging to the Native Americans in our state.
Okay.
A tiny minority is being rewarded. It's not in the public interest. It's never been about the public interest. Only tiny minorities at the expense of everyone else. It's a pattern of behavior. Sure would be interesting to see who was funding the lobbyists who took Representative Aisha Gomez to the front row of a Gopher basketball game a couple of days ago. He emailed me about that. On the topic of returning White Earth lands to the tribe, I'd like to submit that this is just about the most recent handout in a pattern of decisions by our Minnesota government to directly benefit only the tribes at the expense of the rest of the state. Most recently, with the Minnesota State Seal redesign, Native activists managed to remove the date of statehood and put a Dakota phrase on the seal, despite the rules stating that new elements should not be added. I contend that most Minnesotans would not appreciate having our history just erased and removed by activist bullies. And then there is the case of the Minnesota state government restricting charity e-pull tab games to not resemble casino-style games, essentially maintaining Native tribe monopoly on that revenue stream and restricting charity gambling growth. This was a big blow to our local charities. Again, not in the interest of the vast majority of Minnesotans. Another giveaway has been the long delay to start up the Minnesota marijuana industry and regulatory apparatus, fundamentally giving Native tribes 2 to 3 year jump on everyone else to take control of a profitable growth industry. Seems unfair and by design, in my opinion. And finally, I was reading on the U of M's Cloquet Forestry Center webpage on how they plan to basically give back all the land they've used for years for forestry training. Giving back land is not just a transfer. Lands that the state and U of M own are used for the public good, and managed commercial and recreational use brings in money that supports the public good. Without that revenue, the burden falls to us in the form of higher taxes. I wrote to you earlier about Representative Aisha Gomez, the co-author of the White Earth Give Back Bill, as the sitting chair of the Minnesota House Tax Committee. I saw her being spotted with lobbyists at a Gopher basketball game. I question her motives at every level. The DFL game of spoils for loyalists is out of control. If she is willing to take bribes, and we don't know that.
Right.
If she is willing to take bribes from lobbyists, who does she serve? I only wish we had a functional media to report on such things with a critical eye instead of walking in lockstep. Well, let me clarify. Her attending the game with lobbyists does not necessarily mean that she was doing so under accepting a bribe.
I would agree with that.
Maybe those lobbyists were her pals or whatever.
I also don't know the part about the tribes being able to own all of the sports betting, because if it does pass, there's going to be a lot of companies.
There's a lot to unpack in those last two emails that we could talk about for 45 minutes.
Right.
Let's let the White Earth tribe control the gambling so they can get some money on their reservation.
What I took from the first email is that trans people are not yet a protected class for hiring purposes. I predict they will be. For no reason. There's nothing special about you.
Got it.
No, I'll take it even further and say that they'll be pushed to the front of the line and considered before anybody else.
Could be. Could be. Everything's upside down.
He brought up the weed thing briefly. Did you know that part of the application process for owning a retail store or a license to grow, either on a major level or a smaller level, if there's a conviction in your history for marijuana, or if you lived in an area where a lot of people were arrested for marijuana, you automatically go to the front of the line?
Really?
Yeah, it's a really interesting read. If you go to the state website on their marijuana portion, it's really interesting. Mm. And it gives a lot of insight as to how this government in Minnesota is working.
Or not working.
Well, yeah, correct. Yeah.
My friends at Renewal by Anderson Replacement Windows, Patio Doors, Entry Doors, they are a J.D. Power Award winner. That's the highest customer satisfaction among window and patio door manufacturers 4 years in a row. You can go to their website and see the verification. They have the most 5-star reviews in the greater Twin Cities among leading full-service window replacement companies. And again, you can go to the website and it's all there for you to see. You can log on to renewalbyanderson.com to see how they receive these statistics, but also learn more about the best windows in the business. The Acclaim replacement windows, engineered and manufactured by Renewal by Anderson. They're the best, and they can prove it. The engineering and innovation is present in every component, providing Acclaim windows with their renowned beauty, durability, and performance. And as I said, it's not just windows. It's patio doors and entry doors. Renewal by Anderson has the best products and the best service. Learn more at renewalbyanderson.com/garagelogic or call Renewal by Anderson at 651-705-6931. Only. And they bring us only because.
I mean, let's go.
Only because they come to us all the way from the Traveling Lymans in Lake Las Vegas, Nevada, worldwidewaftage.com. It's on this day in history. On this day.
March 20th.
In 1858, Candiohi County was established, at first comprising only the southern half of its present area. In 1870, the county absorbed its northern neighbor, Monongalia County. Candiohi, a Dakota name for some lakes in the county, means where the buffalo fish come.
Yep. That's where they go.
On this day in 1920...
First full day of spring, March 20th.
W.E.B. Du Bois gave a lecture in St. Paul, sponsored by the local chapter of the NAACP. Huh. Hmm. And finally, on this day,
320,
in 1992, during World War II, the surviving crew members of the U.S. Army Air Corps bombing raid on Tokyo, led by Lieutenant Colonel Jimmy Doolittle, gathered in Red Wing. They were joined by Chinese villagers who had rescued some of the airmen after they crash-landed or parachuted into the nearby sea or China after the attack. Organized by a Red Wing area resident who had led an expedition to China in 1990 to try to recover remains of bombers, the reunion also honored Doolittle, who was unable to attend.
Oh.
Thank you, GLers.
Yeah, GLers, thank you very much.
Please do us a favor. If you've thought about it for some time, I think we're going to number two.
Let's go.
Let's talk about the Garage Logic Town Council. There, if you're a member, you're going to have full video and full show audio, including before, during, and after the show with the entire GL crew. Those are just a few of the great perks of a town council membership. You'll even get your own official member card and a certificate from the mayor himself, along with invites to exclusive events. Learn more about the town council and become a member at garagelogic.com.
Let's do this.